Welcome to this Grandma's Life podcast. I'm your host, Thesia Ellis. Get ready to laugh, learn, and grow with me as we explore growing old in an ever-changing world. Today is July 6, 2023, and it is episode 37, Do They Stay or Do They Go? All right, farm happenings. If you've been following me any length of time at all, you know that we've got those John Suskovich style chicken tractors, and we've been having some trouble in the Oklahoma wind, particularly with some of the storms that we've had lately, with the tarp that goes over it. I like the tarp pretty good, but they don't hold up in our winds as well. And I can go through, you know, if I could get one that lasts a whole summer season, that's really great. But I kind of use them for more than for just the summer anymore. I use them for a lot of things. And even then, well, when I first started doing the tarps, they were only like $50 a piece, but now they're closer to 70, 75, something like that. You know, and for a tarp that you can replace a couple of times a year or more, that gets expensive pretty quick. And when we had the first storm, the one that was on the Wednesday morning, that completely knocked over the chicken tractor that had my breast birds in it, the breast chickens. The tarp was shredded. We knew that when we saw it from a distance. We did not know that the chicken tractor itself had been knocked over on the side. But so basically that was already the second tarp that we had put on that just for this year, and it was still June. And a friend of mine, I don't know how, the great big spools that you see that have big wires and stuff on them, well, he works for a company that they take the spools themselves after they've already been used, and they take them and they sandblast them and repaint them and get them ready for the next round of use. But they come with some big old, it's kind of like corrugated plastic. The corrugations are very tiny, but it is a type of corrugated plastic, and it's got little lines in it where perforated in lines too, which makes it easy to know where to cut and stuff like that. So they gave us some of that, and we decided to take that route. And so on the one chicken tractor that has the breast birds in it, we put that blue stuff on it. It's kind of interesting because the tarp that they tell you to put on the chicken tractor is white. So it's shaded, but it still adds a lot more light. But it's kind of interesting that blue actually makes it a much deeper shade, which I think is kind of okay for the summertime. So we'll have to see how that works out. We were a little concerned that they might catch the wind more, because, you know, if nothing else, with a tarp, if it shreds, it shreds, and it catches the wind less, but this won't shred. But I'm actually thinking it might work out better in the long run anyway, because it is not acting like a sail in the wind. I think it's going to work out pretty good. We'll have to see. I don't know how it is with pulling, you know, because it has a little bit of weight to it, but I don't think it's going to be enough weight to make it difficult to move the chicken tractor. I had asked Tom, because he's the one that usually moves the chicken tractor in the evening, and I said, how is it heavier? And he goes, well, he didn't know, he had moved it too much. Well, so I tried to move the chicken tractor this morning, and apparently the rope has broken a couple of times, and he's just kind of tied it back, which is what I did this morning. The first time it broke, I tied it back, and then it broke again. So and the second time I ended up laying on my back, it was raining, and I've got my raincoat on, but yeah, when it broke the second time, it flung me backward, and I landed on my back, and it didn't hurt, but I'm laying there going, this is the way my day's starting already. But I think once I get that rope fixed that we use for pulling it, it's going to be just fine. But I want to test it out, see how it was. Fourth of July just ended. My dogs don't like firecrackers. They don't like them at all, and which is kind of bad about it, because the first night that the firecrackers were, you know, pretty prevalent, we let the dogs stay inside. And then I've lost three or four ducks. I think I've lost four ducks for sure. And I could see blood trail for at least where one of them was. So I was like, man, I'm gonna need my livestock guardian dogs. And I was about to shoot my dogs this morning, because not only was there fireworks last night, but shortly after that, there was thunderstorms rolled through off and on all night. And the dogs would not go out. I was wrestling with Beethoven, trying to get him to go out, and he's bigger than I am, and I'm a big girl. He won, and boy, I was mad about that too. So, but yeah, in fact, two nights ago, Beethoven, you can just tell he's antsy. He just paces and tries to stick his head in your lap and stuff like that. And I thought, you know what? He's really uncomfortable. So I put a Benadryl and a piece of cheese, and he laid right down and did much, much better. But whew, you know, wrestling with big dogs, trying to get him outside, it's like, you're the livestock guardian dog. You need to get back to work. And they're going, nope, not tonight. We are on strike. And Candy sheds pretty bad. She's got the, she's a sleeker, thinner model out of model the Great Pyrenees. And, you know, she's got that extra dew claw and everything, but she actually looks more like kind of a slender lab or something like that. And she sheds, but Beethoven, his is in chunks, huge chunks. And then he's getting out, and I've got stick tights everywhere. So I've got stick tights and dog hair everywhere. And I've been brushing him out, and it's huge chunks coming out. It's bad, but those are my dogs. And that's the way it is what it is what they say. You know, I've been 2 or 3 days ago, I went out to do chores, and Daisy, she was testing the fence. I was watching her test the fence. I thought, oh man, but it was early and it had been cloudy. And I thought, well, the sun's going to come out. I'll see how she does and see if my fence charger charges. Well, it didn't. And Daisy got out. We got her put back in, and I told Tom, I got Tom to work on it, and apparently had a corroded connection that he fixed, and that was good too, but it was still, it was dead enough that it had to have time to recharge. So 4th of July morning, I went out there to do chores. Well, I didn't even do that. I was sitting there listening, doing my book work, and I like to have a cup of coffee and set up what I'm going to do for the day and do some book work, you know. Right, I have a book that I record the weather in and everything. And so I was doing that, but I could tell by the way the dogs were barking, something was going on. So I put my jeans on and went out, and sure enough, Daisy's out. And so I didn't even get to finish my cup of coffee before I'm out there chasing Daisy down and got her put back in, went back inside, finished up my books, went back outside, and she's out again. So I thought, okay, crap, this is not going to work. And so I have Daisy and Oscar Mayer in one pen, and I have Waddles and the Piglets in another pen. I thought, well, I know where Waddles and the Piglets are, has charge. So I'm going to see if I can get the two sows to be together, even with the piglets in there. And that lasted maybe 2 minutes. And it takes a long time because they want to eat grass and they want to move around. And, oh, yeah, well, I know you got some water, but I want to go check this out, you know. And you just don't say, hey, come on, let's go back into your pen. So I've already spent a lot of time trying to get her back into her pen the first two times. And then the third time I thought, well, I'll just see if she can go in with Waddles. And I got her in there. That went fine. And then about 2 minutes later, I hear a bunch of squealing and squalling. Well, both Daisy and Waddles were getting shocked and decided they were going to go through the fence because they were going to get out. So I had everybody out because Waddles is out. So therefore, her piglets, they come and go. They do whatever they want to. But I had, of all the pigs I had, the only one that was still in the pen was Oscar. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't, you know. But we got the charger set back up and going, and Daisy eventually got hot and wanted to go back to her home and lay in her mud waller, and so she did that. We got her back in, got Waddles back in, everybody's back in. But I was a little frustrated with that too. But at least that was doing okay. But on top of that, and I sound like I'm really doing a lot of complaining here, but I guess I just kind of tell you how my day was that way. I'm having some trouble with my Achilles tendon where it attaches at the heel, and I've been dealing with it for several months. Well, after all that walking around trying to catch Daisy 3 different times and catching Waddles, who did not want to be put up either, my foot was really, really hurting. And so, yeah, I'm ready to get this foot well so I can do whatever it is I need to do. You know, I'm ready to get back into the gym. I'm ready to be, you know, I'm just ready to be me again. And it's kind of been getting me down, but I'll figure it out, I guess, because I always do eventually. My three things. The first one is the podcast, since that's what we're working on now. The second one is menu and groceries for the week. I got the menu done. I haven't got the grocery list put together yet, but I've just been doing that. And to number three was enjoy a rainy day with my granddaughter. It has been raining off and on all day. And this is the first day she's had off in a few days too, that she got that job at that grocery store, and they decided that she's not in school. She's free. Let's work. And she's been working a lot of hours. So today was her first day off. I definitely let her sleep in, because she, not only has she been putting in hours at her job, she's been going to the gym every day. She's been basically going to the gym and then getting cleaned up and going to work to stand all day long at behind a register. And and because she's brand new, this was her first real technical job. She already had a food handler's permit, which I'm not sure it would have applied with the grocery store, but she already had to pay for that. Well, now she's working on getting where she could sell beer and trying to get that license. And after that, she's got to try to get her license for selling tobacco. And so she's doing a lot of studying and a lot of, you know, and plus learning all the stuff for the new job and everything too. So she's been staying busy. And plus with 4th of July, she actually drove to Tulsa. I think that was her first time driving to Tulsa by herself. And I was really proud of her. I'm proud of her anyway. I won't lie. I'm proud of that girl just so much I can't hardly stand it. But she went to Tulsa and spent the night with her friend in Tulsa. And they went to go see a fireworks show and everything. And so, yeah. So we're enjoying the day together right now. Well, she's at the gym, but she'll be back in a few minutes. All right. What I am reading, we're still in that 4-volume set with Edgar Casey collection. We're on the second book is Edgar Casey on healing. And so the first, every chapter starts out with the patient. Mary Ellen Carter writes someone about what goes on with the patient. And then Dr. William A. McGarry does a commentary. So let's see, Mary wrote, this one is, the chapter two is A Friend Snatched from Death, a quick synopsis of his deal. He was Roger ran a factory, and this is like pre-World War II, I think is what these were. And so Roger ran a factory, but he was working too hard. And, he was working hard to keep things running at the factory, running smoothly. And, but he was working too hard. And I guess one day he lost consciousness at work and woke up in the hospital, diagnosed with advanced tuberculosis. And I guess they had gone to Edgar Casey for readings on it. And his readings indicated a depleted physical condition from mental and physical stress. And the body was not eliminating properly. And but he also said the doctor's diagnosis was not totally accurate. It's more like streptococcus infection. And the doctor gave him a blood transfusion. And then some of the things they did for medical stuff back in the day was kind of interesting too. The doctor gave him blood transfusion, digitalis, sulfate of quinine, muriated iron, and rhubarb, along with osteopathic therapy and sand packs with some sort of radioactive appliance. I didn't understand all that, but that's what the doctor had said to do. And then Casey also recommended some, and I think some of the, like the radioactive appliance and the sand packs were something Casey had recommended. And so Casey also recommended some herbal remedies, and Roger slowly recovered. So that was the actual case himself with Roger. And then the medical commentary was for streptococcus. And on page 177, it said, Casey suggested at this point that McDermott take a 3-day course of therapy that has similarities to treatments used thousands of years ago. A pint of sage tea and a pint of saffron tea taken as hot as possible each day, followed by steam bath to sweat the teas through the body. Saffron is a stimulant, gives tone to the stomach, and is used to promote the secretion of sweat and urine. The sage tea, on the other hand, has been used in times past for nervous conditions, coughs, and colds, and any condition where the sweat is desired. It also produces perspiration. Both are classed, therefore, among herbs as diaphoretics. So that was for about the teas. And then on page 179, this is a series of questions that they had come up, that this doctor had come up with too. It says, number one, has diet been underestimated in its physiological effect on the human body? Number two, do herbs as used through the ages have a therapeutic effect that is measurable? And is the effect principally one to change the coordination of the body forces, perhaps, or to aid an organ in its function? Which I think was kind of interesting because a lot of us are, and some more than others, are really get into herbal teas for different remedies. Number three, does elimination as a total body function really play this larger role in health of the body that Casey suggests? So Casey's the same because his body wasn't eliminating, urine and feces and stuff properly, that it was poisoning him and stuff. And I think I would kind of tend to agree with that. Number four, is assimilation a recognizable entity in the body? Does it become all or none phenomena, or is it a force with a multitude of tasks, any one of which might become weakened or deficient? Number five, does physical therapy act only on the muscular structure of the body, or does it perform a therapeutic duty to the uncoordination function of the organism? In other words, not only are you working your muscles and doing stuff, but is the act of working the muscles and doing other parts of the body working on your insides to have them help work better too? And I would indicate that that would be the case. Does osteopathy alter the physiological functions of a human body in a therapeutic manner? I have no idea. How does vibration work in relation to body functions? That's interesting because, they're talking about vibrations. But if you think about it, we've got quartz watches and all that other stuff. So things obviously vibrate. But I don't know how that would actually work with the bodily functions. Number eight, does a sand pack do more than introduce a tranquilizing effect into the body? I have no idea. What about related treatments from health spas around the world and mud packs, hot mineral baths, steam baths, uranium mine sitting and copper bracelets? Now, I know that I've seen people wear copper bracelets. I don't know if they still do that anymore, but they've got the copper physical bands, for like knee braces and stuff like that. And also in Claremore, the town where I graduated high school from, they actually had mineral bath places. Will Rogers Hotel, they're up the top floor, was a mineral bath place. And there's another place kind of over on east of town where they had the mineral baths and stuff too. So I guess the water that came out of the ground at that time was full of minerals, and people actually claimed to Claremore for healing. So I thought that was interesting. Does gold play a part in the normal functioning of the body? I have no idea. Can the vibration of an element be carried into the energy field of a person so that the function of glands to the body is enhanced? And number 11, can the flow of energy in the body itself activate an appliance which has no source of energy within itself? I'm not sure about that one either. But that was just some questions that they were asking about, obviously, with some of the stuff that people use for medical treatments back in the day. And you can say a lot of that stuff is really stupid, and we do have a lot of technology right now that helps keep things under, but at the same time we are also in a stage where instead of trying to treat the actual illness, we treat the symptoms. So that's basically as archaic as anything else. So I don't know, I struggle with some of that. I have to admit I'm still re-listening to Atlas Shrugged. I'm enjoying listening to it again because I am picking up things that I missed before. So that is really cool. On a completely different note, some other things I'm listening. I love to listen to podcasts. I know if you guys know me at all, I listen to a lot of podcasts. And there's a new one that I checked out. It's called Bleeding Daylight, I think is what it's called. And it's a Christian channel. He's based out of Australia. And I think what their opening line is something along the line of kicking at the darkness until truth bleeds through or something like that. But he was talking to one, and I believe he's a pastor, but he said something. I thought, oh, you know what? That's kind of interesting. Because, you know, we as Christians, you know, the Great Commission, we're supposed to go out and win people to the Lord and tell people about the gospel. But I struggle with that. You know, I really do. I had for a long time, I probably still do in a lot of cases, have taken on the philosophy that I'd rather show you Christian behavior and hopefully by that showing you that you would want to become a Christian, which is a cop out in a lot of ways if you think about it. But that's the stage I've been at. But this one guy is saying, he says that a lot of people don't know how to share the gospel. I'm going, yeah, I really don't know either. So he does role playing things, and he says, give me in 60 minutes, tell me what your life was like before you were a Christian. Tell me what happened when you decided to become a Christian, and tell me what your life has been like since you've become a Christian. And it's, and essentially split it up into 20-second, you know, segments, you know, do 20 seconds of what your life was before you became a Christian, 20 seconds of the decision, and 20 seconds of what your life has been like since then. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. That at least puts something kind of tangible with it. You know, just running around going, hey, praise the Lord, you got to become a Christian like me type thing. I really struggle with that. And I have to admit, I bet a lot of us do. But when it comes down to doing that, oh my gosh, I forgot to, my dog. Okay, but I'm hoping he'll leave me alone to let me do my thing, but I'm talking, so maybe not. So I think that's interesting to think about that and give me something tangible to think and do. My quote of the day is, integrity is doing the right thing even if nobody is watching, by Jim Stovall. I think it's pronounced Stovall, S-T-O-V-A-L-L. And I'm going to repeat that. Integrity is doing the right thing even if nobody is watching. And like I said, that's Jim Stovall. And there's a reason I had chosen that particular quote, and I'll talk to you about that when we get to the main subject. But also, I'm really enjoying looking up these people. You know, some of them you kind of know when you have a quote, you go, yeah, I've read a lot of quotes of them and stuff like that. But this Jim Stovall, he was one. He wrote The Ultimate Gift and two or three other along that series of the ultimate stuff. But what I didn't know, number one, that he was blind. And number two, he was born in 1958, but he was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and went to college at Oral Roberts University. Well, I was born in Tulsa and I was raised pretty much in Oklahoma. So I thought it was kind of cool that to see about some, and he won Emmy Awards and he won several other awards too, some sort of humanitarian award or something like that too, for his work with The Ultimate Gift and the other two or three books he'd written along that line. So, and they were made into movies and stuff too. But that was really neat to learn that there was somebody actually from the Tulsa area that did this stuff. All right, my scripture of the day is on the same line, may integrity and uprightness protect me because my hope, Lord, is in you. This is Psalm 25:21. And because I'm hoping, you know, with the integrity thing, and I'm struggling with that right now. But let me repeat this with scripture. May integrity and uprightness protect me because of my hope, Lord, is in you. Psalm 25:21. And that takes us to the main subject. And this is my quandary. I had written on here my quandary with Oscar Mayer, but I'll be perfectly honest. I'm struggling with what to do with all my pigs. My plan was to really expand and do a good job and take care of all these pigs and then down the road, kind of sell them off and make enough money, hopefully to travel a little bit and stuff. And I think in some ways that still is my deal. But after dealing with Oscar for several months now, and then Daisy getting out three times in one morning, and Waddle's getting out, Piglet's running all over the place. I mean, even last night, Piglet's are wandering further and further away. they don't even honor the electric fence. So I've got to figure out something or get rid of them. And that's my biggest struggle right now. I haven't checked into processors yet. God, I keep putting it off. And I'll tell you why in a few minutes. But I have not checked in the processors, but I keep hearing also that processors won't take an animal that is not walking. Well, on a good day, Oscar walks. But most of the time, he does not. He lays there, and he just struggles so much. So how am I going to take an animal to a processor if they won't take them? And what am I going to do then? Does that mean I'm going to have to process this pig? Tom, well, I say I'm by myself, but, you know, Tom and I are going to have to process this pig. There's a traveling processor, and I may have mentioned this before. She's got a sweet setup, really neat, because I saw the video on it, and she could come in and she could knock it out in no time. But she's based out kind of down by Oklahoma City. I can't remember the name of the town right offhand, but it's down by Oklahoma City. And we were looking her up, and, you know, and her prices are fair, but just to get to me in Northeast Oklahoma was going to be nearly $300 just to get here. And that's not even, you know, processing and all that other stuff. So that kind of, you know, as sweet a deals that she has, you know, I don't have that kind of money just to pay you just to show up here. And I don't blame her. Don't get me wrong. You know, she's got a huge rig. She's got a huge setup. She's got a lot of things that she's got to pay for, and driving that far. I think she's from Hera, Oklahoma, or something like that, which is east of Oklahoma City. But, you know, that kind of put it out of our price range too. So it's kind of coming down to, I either find a processor who will take Oscar, or we process him ourselves, or, I don't know. And the reason I'm struggling with this part of it too is like this morning, he's not getting up. He's just not getting up. And you can tell he's struggling and having trouble getting around. And then other days you go out there and he's not frisky by any means. But he is up and he's around and doing stuff. I have to admit, and this maybe sound terrible, but it reminds me of that old skit. And I can't remember the grape and do it, you know, I had it and then I lost it. But it was a skit they did during the Black Plague, and they would bring this card around and goes, bring out the dead, bring out the dead. And they would bring out this old person and they're going, I'm not dead yet. Well, that's kind of way it is with Oscar and Felix. It feels like, literally, how many times I've decided, okay, I've got to put him out of his misery. I've got to get him processed. I got to do something. And then immediately the next day he's up and around and moving around, you know, it's like, so I don't know. Monty Python, that was the name of the group that did that. Monty Python group did Bring Out the Dead. And I don't know. And the other pigs, you know, apparently I'm just as ignorant as they come when it comes to pigs. I mean, Waddles has done a wonderful job with the piglets, but you know, they were 6 weeks old. Well, so they're probably 2.5 months old now, and she has not weaned them. I mean, they're drinking less and less, but she has not weaned them. And I don't have a way to separate them that the piglets would honor them to, keep them separate from each other. So that's something that I've messed up on. You know, maybe I could spend the money and put up some T-posts and some just some way to get them off. Sorry, I'm distracted because the dog is trying to get into my lap now. But I don't know. I'm not sure what to do with them. And the piglets, like I said, last night we come home and they were a whole another part. And all the pigs have just torn up on the netting. I got 3 different pig nets and only 2 of them are working right now. Well, 1.5, because they've just torn them up, you know, where the pig hut gets scooted over into it and severs a line. Or there was one time, even from the very beginning, when we first brought Oscar in, he decided he didn't want to honor the fence, and he he tore up the fence bad enough that I don't have all the parts for it, and we couldn't find him in the grass. So I've got three damaged electric net fencing, and I do have another fencing system that I bought, but we haven't set up yet. So I don't know. It's just, I feel like I'm in over my head. I feel like I feel bad. I really thought that I could figure this stuff out as I went. I really thought I could be under control and take care of things as I went. And apparently I'm just not. So, plus I'm not good at marketing either. I know these are a good breed. I love these pigs. They're cute. They're, you know, all the stuff I'm telling you about with the pigs is not their fault. It's mine. You know, they're getting out is my fault. They're being a pain in the neck is my fault. They're docile. I mean, even when they get out, they wander around. They eat dog food. They, you know, they tear things up just because they're big and huge and they get what they want. And I don't know. But I don't ever worry for my safety around them. Even as I get older and I concern it, well, I mean, like my stupid cat gets under my feet and I really do, I'm afraid he's going to trip me and I'm going to fall and hurt myself real bad. I don't have that fear with these pigs. They're huge for one thing, so I can see them down there. If I'm carrying a load of laundry, I don't see that stupid cat, and I've tripped over him so many times. But the pigs are not aggressive. They're just going to do what they're going to do. So I don't know. All of this mess is my fault. And so I don't know. I'm not sure what to do with them. I'm still working on it. But and with the marketing and stuff, I haven't even looked into that very well. I put a few feelers out there for people who want to buy some pigs. At the same time, I don't want to sell them. I really, really like this breed. I look at these little things, these piglets, and yeah, they're getting big and stuff, but even Waddles, she's got beautiful eyes. I just really like this breed and I enjoy these pigs. I did not have the structure, the infrastructure put in properly, because you know sometimes you don't need it. And I read that I didn't need it and I was wrong. So I don't know. I'm struggling. I really like the pigs. Part of me thinks I really need to get rid of them though, because I'm not doing them any favors. I'm not doing myself any favors, but I don't know. And Oscar, I don't know what to do for him. I just really don't. All right. I do have a story of the day. When the pigs get out, now Beethoven is getting better, and so is Candy in a way. Oh, now if the pigs get too close to Candy's dog food, she will roar, you know, she's down on them. She's not biting them or anything, but she's squaring off with them and saying, letting them know that that's her food. But Beethoven has in the past kind of been sneaky, and he barked from behind and he'll be nipping at their hind legs and stuff, but he's been getting better at it. But when Waddles got out that one morning, Waddles is wandering around doing her own thing. And at one time she started feeling a little bit frisky. She starts running around. Well, Beethoven wasn't paying attention. He was just kind of laying there. Next thing I know, Waddles is chasing Beethoven, and the look on his face was so funny. It's like, oh my gosh, this pig is chasing me instead of me chasing the pig. And it didn't last long. I was able to calm them both down, but it was just an interesting turn of events, because Beethoven was always chasing her and kind of nipping at her. And so she decided to turn the tables. All right. My question of the day is, how would you handle the situation, particularly with Oscar Mayer? What would you do? What is the best thing to do for these pigs? And I don't know. I sure could use some. I could use some help on this. All right, guys. My income producing activity of the day is the Self Reliance Festival. And oh man, I was going to look it up before I got on here. There are so many cool different people on here, and that are coming to the Self Reliance Festival. I know Joel Salatin is going to be there. We're going to have several other people there that do some wonderful talks and everything. And that's kind of an interesting thing too. I'm going to have a booth set up there. I'm going to be selling some skincare for my friend. I'm going to be selling some of my some mugs. I've got some stickers I'm going to be handing out. You know, there's going to be a couple of things I'm going to be doing. And so I'll have a table there. But so I'm not going to get to hear the speakers as much, but it's kind of cool. They have different things going around, and this thing is getting bigger and bigger every year. And these guys are all go-getters. They're all doers, and it's so neat. But like with Joel Salatin there, he's even at one point going to have a chicken processing class, and he's going to be speaking. Nicole Sauce, it's all at it's at SOE Tactical. That's where it's a place where they where John Willis makes tactical gear for, and so I mean literally like when I was set up there last year, I was set up right next to his sewing machines where he makes the web gear and stuff for some of this tactical stuff. So it's neat. I love the people who go there. The speakers are excellent. They have excellent speakers, you know, like somebody might talk biochar, somebody else might talk, you know, processing, somebody else is going to talk about off-grid living and off, you know, how to do solar and stuff. So there's a whole bunch of stuff. And like last one that I know I talked to you about was one guy, he did some history, and that was actually very interesting. So there's different things. I've made friends with so many of them. I'm going to get to meet new people this time, but I would love to see you guys there. And if any of you guys know, Joel Salatin is a big name now, and he's written a lot of good books. You know, The Pigness of the Pig, and Everything I Want to Do Is Illegal, and I don't know, several things. One of them about salad bar beef, and another one about chickens and stuff. He's written a lot of books. He's very knowledgeable. He does a lot of work with the government to try to make it where we can get our food, where we don't have to go through like three particular meat processing places that are USDA and have everything all funneled to those things. He's trying to make it where free eating your own food and distributing the food that you raise to people who want your food easier and legal and still safe. You know, if you think about it, when we raise our own food, we're not here to poison anybody. We're here to eat our own food. And if I am eating my food that's in good condition, do you think I'm going to sell you something that's not? You know, I understand, like in some of the older, well, not even the older, some of the processing plants and all that other stuff, they're probably not nearly as clean, not just in meat, but in vegetables. And there is an acceptable level of rodent and bug parts per, you know, there is an acceptable percentage level of these things in the food that you buy in the grocery store. And then all we want is to have our own food that we know doesn't have bugs in it. We know that it doesn't have pesticides and herbicides in it. Food that we know that we've raised, and we know what that animal is eating. We know what's gone on with it. But somehow that is illegal in a lot of ways. And then selling this meat that we know is good, selling these vegetables that we know are good, is not the American way. Okay, so he's doing good about fighting with that. Okay, I went off on a tangent. This is going to be wonderful. I'm looking forward to it. I would love to see you guys there. I have a link down in the show notes below where you can click through it. It's only $75. Ooh, right now it's only $75. Here pretty soon it's going to go up to $95, which is still good. It's for a whole weekend. That's for 2 full days per person. All of these speakers, all of these things that you can see, all of the things you get to learn, all the people you get to talk to and meet. It's $75 for 2 days per person. It's just too cool. And even if it goes up to $95 for 2 days for two people, that's the best thing you're going to get ever. So go down the link below and sign up through there. I really hope to see you there. It's not going to cost you anything to go through that link, but I will get a little bit of a kick. I don't know, it's not kickback, but I get a little bit of something if you go through my link, put it that way. At the same time, this is something else I've learned recently too. I need to start asking you guys. I know there aren't very many of you out there right yet, but I'm asking for a 5-star review. Give me a review. Help me get known out there. Help me to be seen by more people so that they can see that even old ladies like me have something to say that's important, that there's cool stuff in the world to learn about, to talk about, and to see and be a part of. So spread the word, give me a review so that people can hear about it. And I would really appreciate that. All right, where I can be found is grandmashomestead.farm. That's my website. Grandma's Homestead YouTube channel. That's my main YouTube channel. That's where you could see the animals I'm raising. And if you go back through history, you can actually see how things have progressed over the last 10 years and stuff too. Farm Animal Life. And then I'm on Instagram. I do have some TikToks. I had a whole bunch of little piglet TikToks that were coming out right now. Because I love quotes, as you know, I do quotes and scriptures and stuff, and they're just little few second snippets of either scripture or quote is what I've been putting out lately. But I also do a lot of farm stuff on there too. And that's TikTok, and that's Thesia Ellis, under Thesia Ellis, Facebook, MeWe, Twitter, and Rumble. All right, guys. I pray that everything's going well for you. This weather's been crazy this year. You never know how things are going to go, but you know what? This life, and we're going to get through it. God bless, guys. Oh, and live. Live until you die. Come to Self-Reliance Festival and see what it's like to see people who are living. God bless, guys. See you next time.